When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 218 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. What an absolutely fabulous day it's been. Almost 24 hours after the 244th Merseyside derby. We all know, obviously, the result of that. In our wildest dreams, I don't think we thought that we'd come away with a 2-0 win. We did. Richly deserved, got to be said. Players, fantastic. Every single one of them. Manager, fantastic. Crowd and atmosphere, fantastic. It's been a long time since I've come away from Goodison Park and revelled in such an atmosphere. That's Goodison Park as I know and love it last night. And we can go back to obviously Crystal Palace a couple of years ago and Bournemouth last season. And it certainly surpasses Bournemouth for me. You know, we just didn't stop all game. The singing was just incredible. You know, we were backing every single player, every single tackle, every single little bit of good play, you know, every single bit of effort. That's Everton. And last night, we all deserved that. Every single one of us deserved that. 14 years in the making, not winning a Merseyside derby at home. 14 long years since Tim Cahill and Mikel Arteta scored in a 2-0 win. And I sit here, I'm sure like many of us, I've done the day after, just thinking about the 90 minutes, you know, the special moments, the goosebumps, the nerves, the anxiety, all of those things. And then looking back on clips and looking back on highlights and just the memories. And it sounds silly, you know, for a game that's only just finished, really, in the grand scheme of life. But the memories that game created, we will look back on that when we do move to Bramley Moor. And we will remember that night at Goodison Park. And it does, you know, my stomach now has butterflies thinking back. And you know, for us to come away with a 2-0 win, don't forget, 2 weeks ago, you know, or 10 days, almost 11 days, we got thumped 6-0 by Chelsea. Who would have thought in the 10, 11 days after, we'd win two home games by 2-0? One against the relegation rival Nottingham Forest, and two against Liverpool, who were chasing the title, it's got to be said. You know, with a three-horse race, you'd be forgiven last night for thinking that they had just secured mid-table obscurity for the season, because there was only one side who wanted to win that game. But that's enough of me and my monologue to open the show. Joining me, and potentially Lee, if he gets his backside back from having his steak dinner on his date night, so we've been told. But joining me is from Football Then and Now podcast and also Big Fight Weekly, is Evertonian, of course, Chris Hume. Chris, how are you feeling the day after the night before?
Elated. I was obviously, when I spoke to you this morning, I was hungover. I partied a bit too much, but you know, wins against Liverpool are very far between, aren't they? So, you know what I mean? It's taking everything, every moment. But if you could, you'd bottle it up. I was rough. I went to bed, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I was up for work at 5 o'clock in the morning and I sort of peeled myself out of bed. But, you know, I was still thinking, you know, we just beat Liverpool. You know, we've just performed probably our best performance all season. And maybe for a couple of seasons, to be fair, mine is maybe Brighton away. I was elated. I was so happy. And I, when I was watching it, Mike, I had two Liverpudlians sitting across from me who come round to my house every derby game. And you know what? And you know, obviously, it's been 14 years and looking at them and just seeing them melt onto my couch was such an amazing feeling. I loved it. I wish obviously I was there because, as you say, like, you know, you being there in the atmosphere just sounded like a rocket ship, you know, lifting off. And I remember being there at Palace a few seasons ago when we survived on that day, and there was nothing like it. But yeah, I was so happy, mate.
It's almost sort of hard to put into words as well, I think, because of the, you know, the difference. And we said it on the podcast ourselves when we previewed the derby. I had Sean Lunt on the show with me after the Forest game, and it was very much a case of that win against Forest gave us that relief, you know, that sense of we can go into the Merseyside derby and not be needing to pick anything up from it. You know, we can relax. It's a free hit. And to see us go out there and let's get it right, take the game to them. We were the better side in that first half, I'd say, especially. Obviously, they had the moments. But to go out there and play with a sense of freedom and showed the heart and the battle and the fight that we all questioned after Chelsea. We all questioned during that run where we didn't win a game for 3.5 months, and rightly so. The players of mind you deserve to be questioned. Mm-hmm. But what a response, you know, and it was just, it just felt right from minute one. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin said that as well. You know, he got a sense in those first 5 minutes, this could be our night. And he was terrific, by the way. That was Dominic Calvert-Lewin of a few seasons ago. Absolutely fantastic performance, which we'll come on to shortly. But it's so hard to put it into words and vocalise what that means to us. And I've had conversations this morning with Liverpool fans, obviously fellow Evertonians. You have a little bit of backwards and forwards with the Reds, obviously, and then they go off sulking, which is what I witnessed today as well, because they're terrible losers. Some of the comments I've heard from Liverpool fans who were sitting not too far from me in work today, and they're just incredibly sore losers. And they were never, for me, if they're going for the title, then, as I say, any neutral watching that would not believe it, because they were a shell of the side that I thought that they maybe were. But that's testament to us, because, as I say, we started the game fantastically. The atmosphere, it was boisterous from well before the first minute, you know, even before Zedcars kicked in. It was a fantastic atmosphere. You started really well, won a penalty, unfortunately, given offside. So that was overturned. Creating chances, Dominic Calvert-Lewin header, Ben Godfrey header, should have done better. You know, more so Ben Godfrey, not even getting on target. And he just thought, we've got the number. I don't know what it was. But it was, you know, when you see us go ahead in the way we did again, set piece, we love it. You know, you just can't defend against us at times, because sometimes you think, oh, it's telegraphed, because we always go to that back post looking at Tarkowski or Brandtveit, and the two of them are great in the air, of course. But Liverpool, they would have done the homework. I think Klopp alluded to it after the game. You know, we know that's where Everton is strong, but we still couldn't defend against those set pieces. And they weren't whipped in with much pace. So Dwight McNeil was going back post, looping them in, giving Tarkowski and Brandtveit every chance to basically time it right and get to the ball. But they couldn't deal with it. And when I think it was McAllister, wasn't it, who, after a little bit of a ping-pong in the box, then slices his clearance to Brandtveit, and Brandtveit's obviously was like his third goal of the season. He's there. Johnny on the spot. Dominic Calvert-Lewin tried to rob it, of course. But it was a fantastic... It was richly deserved. And we probably all thought, because we were on top, we've got to take a chance, because we're not going to have massive, massive spans of time in this game where we are on top against these. So when we are, let's make it count. And we thought, with the penalty being overturned, obviously with Dom's chance and Ben Godfrey's chance, is it going to get away from us? But we took the lead, and it was so deserved. It was great to see us do that and get ahead, because at that point you thought, well, you know what, there's the foothold, there's something to defend now. You know, we can come away here with something if we switch on. But what was your feeling when that first goal went in, Chris? Because I know myself, I was getting knocked around. I think I was And the fella next to me, he's a little fella, hasn't got much ear, and I was smacking him on the head and all stuff like that, as you do, you know, rubbing his head. Amazing what goes on. He's hugging me. I'm nearly in two rows in front of me. What was your reaction when watching it from home?
Well, I scared the missus. And I forgot to say as well, that was our 14-year anniversary yesterday as well. So
it worked out.
So she jumped out a skeleton, and I jumped over my tea table where my two mates who were Liverpool fans were, and I just had to give it. I had to give it because, you know what I mean? It's been so long, and it's, you know what I mean? Draws at Goodison, and then the loss here, loss there, and I'll forget about Anfield. But it was like all that just had to emotion come out. I loved it. And as you said, it was the power of the corners. I was, you know, quite shocked that, you know, usually you think with Van Dijk being a tall, you know, and he's a world-class defender, he'd be right, quite to cope with him. And then Konate, now, as you say, Tarkowski and Brentford in that corner every time. But you got to give props to Godfrey, who was getting in the way of Van Dijk as well, wasn't he? Sort of really frustrating Van Dijk. And Van Dijk obviously just completely switched off and was focusing on getting agitated, which left those, you know, Tarkey and Brentford to have that space as well. You know what I mean? You had Calvert-Lewin, you know, lurking in between them. And yeah, it was so good. I was a bit nervous when it sort of bounced up between Alisson's legs and it was slowly rolling in. And you're like, oh, come on. But as you say, Johnny on the spot, Calvert-Lewin just wanted that anyway, didn't he? But, you know, we'll talk about it later, but he did get his goal.
He did, yeah. You know, and you understand why he was sniffing and trying to claim it for himself, of course. Every good striker does. And we know Dom has been in decent form. He broke his duck, got a couple of goals. In between, obviously, a bit of an injury as well. So we know, you know, it's important for strikers once you get on that scoring run to keep on scoring. But either way, we didn't care who scored, it didn't matter. A goal's a goal, and that was that. But obviously, as the half went on, we probably rode our luck a little bit. You know, got to thank Jordan Pickford. A couple of decent saves from Diaz and Nunes, wasn't it? Ben Godfrey with a great clearance off the line when it did go past Jordan Pickford. Don't forget that as well. It was, you know, Ben Godfrey seems to do that on a regular basis. We've seen him doing it a few times this season. He got back and he put the ball wide. So they had a couple of chances later on in the first half. But, you know, it's got to be said, I think, when the half-time whistle went, you sat there, so stood there, you know, wherever you were, thinking, it's totally deserved. You know, we totally deserved that. And now, what can we do second half? And that was the big thing. Liverpool obviously had strength on the bench. You know, you can't spend the money that they spend and not have quality to bring on. You know, we were missing a number of players, obviously no Beto because of the concussion protocol. No Seamus Coleman, of course. But we had a few players who could come on and obviously do something. But we lost Mikhailenko as well. Don't forget at half-time. Who I thought first half against Salah once again, I thought he was fantastic, but rolled his ankle. Looks like that could be in for the season. Bad luck for Sean.
It looked a bad one, that.
It was bad, yeah. His ankle basically went to the right angle, didn't it? It was really, really, really sore one. Went off, got a bit of treatment. You could see he was smacking the ground when he was down on the floor. Just thought, yeah, this isn't good. But he comes back on, you know, plays sort of 5 minutes or so. Yeah. Half time, off he trots with the rest of the team. And then it's straight away. Ashley Young came out straight away. You know, then a sub's being made, and you think, oh, dear me. After what happened against Forest, and he's going to be against Salah one on one, you know, it didn't bode particularly well. But, you know, he comes on and he's got to do a job and do a job he does. But, you know, going into that second half, it was very much a case of, can we get a second? Because we can't spend 45, 50 minutes or so sitting back. And soak it up, because at some point you're going to break, you know, because the quality that they've got, you know, the players that they could bring on, it was never going to be easy. Naturally, Everton are going to want to sit because you're trying to protect the lead. You understand that. And we did a little bit. But again, forcing corners, forcing set pieces. And that's where the second goal comes from. And that, for me, I sit in the paddock, right in the corner, row 8, and I'm at a perfect position for, obviously, for that corner, right, when Neil trots over. And you just had a feeling, because, again, another loopy one, sort of whipping in, but not a great deal of pace. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin, reminiscent of Big Dunk, you know, it was Joe Goyle's first game.
Yeah.
And he puts the ball in the back of the net, same end, of course, rises like a salmon and just hangs in the air. James Tarkowski does his usual screen on Krajinar's Van Dijk, who, for whatever reason, just stopped with minimal contact. Alexander Arnold, the world's greatest defender, just let Dominic Calvert-Lewin just run off him. And there was Dom. As we've seen so many times in the past, hangs, great header down, and away we go. And the scenes, I mean, obviously, from the telly, you get a great angle of the Gladys Street, and you can see arms, you can see legs, you can see crutches. At one point, I saw there's a crutch in the air from someone waving all over the place. There was staff on the pitch, there was subs on the pitch, there was ball boys hugging players. I was hugging the fella next to me again. He's hugging me. I'm nearly two rows in front. It's all going off all over the ground. And the noise that greeted that goal was just incredible, because then you start to believe. You start to think, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, this is going to be our night. And 1-0 is much better than 2-0. That's for sure. You know, even if they score one, they've still got a way to go to get back and get something from the game. And even then, you think, well, even a point now, does that guarantee us a point, which is a good return against them, of course. But what was your reaction to that goal, Chris? Because it was a typical throwback number nine header, wasn't it? And something that we've seen so often from our strikers over the years.
Calvert-Lewin, you know, you spoke about it a few years ago under Carlo. He was, you know, he got 16 goals, didn't he, in the league. And he was prolific. And, you know, I mean, he did score a different array of goals, but I remember, I think it was the six on the trot he scored, and a lot of them were, you know, headers. And we all obviously know that Calvert-Lewin's very good in the air, but it was very Dunk-esque, wasn't it? Like, you know what I mean? As much as Andy Hinchcliffe isn't a fantastic guy on the commentary these days when we have to listen to him in our games, but he was a terrific corner set-piece taker, wasn't he? Yeah, You can sort of envision it in your head. But yeah, I spilt beer all over the table. I didn't think I got up quick enough on my coffee table. And yeah, but again, as you say, it was amazing. And having that moment again, and you know, we're clearly not as much boss of the game as much as we were in the first half. We were a bit under the caution, sitting back a bit, you know, trying to counter-attack them. But yeah, that it was something that, unless you're an Evertonian and you feel as passionate as we do, and but you know, we strive for Calvert-Lewin to do better, and you know, he's had a lot of injuries, and you know, this season I think he's been better, you know, not as many injuries, but yeah, I don't think he's had that much support. But watching him today, continue on, isn't it? But it reminded me of a lot of, like, Duncan, in the way he held the ball up and he chased everything and he won loads of headers against Canotti. He was that good, Mike, that Canotti was hauled off, you know, for the second half, that he was putting him under that much pressure. So when he scored, I was so happy for him, because you could see in the passion and the love he does have for the club. But, you know, I mean, to get one against Liverpool, and I, at that point, I was thinking maybe that was the final nail in the coffin then for the game. And, you know, I mean, I felt proud for him. And now, hopefully now we can, you know, keep this form going till the end of the season, and then we can see what happens going into the next one.
Yeah, I think with Dom, you know, we've always been big fans on this show of Calvert-Lewin, and he's quite clearly our best striker, and that's with all the respect in the world to Beto and Chimiti, but obviously Beto's first season, he's still very much adjusting, you would say, and Chimiti hasn't been given much of a chance, but he's 19 years of age. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin is certainly our best striker. Obviously, going a number of games, you know, was it 22, 23 games without a goal was incredible for someone like him. I know he's, you know, I'm not saying he's a 20, 25 goal a season striker every single season, but he's done it before. But he did it at a time with a manager who said 6-yard box, you know, 12 yards out, that's where you need to be. you know, like Inzaghi, that kind of striker. In the Sean Dyche side, and you know, under, you could argue under Lampard and you know, managers like that, very much it's a case of he plays as a central striker with a, you know, a couple of sort of wingers, high wingers either side, and a number 10. And sometimes he doesn't even get the support. Yeah, I thought last night, I'm not going to get bodies around him. So even when he holds the ball up, there'll be no one there to sort of lay the ball off and help him out. But to be fair, we did that fairly well, I thought. But Calvert-Lewin was just fantastic. Hold up play, brilliant. I think he won 12 aerial duels. He's won the most aerial duels in the Premier League this season, I think, out of anybody. Which is fantastic. You know, he beat Van Dijk time and again, and Van Dijk is very, very good in the air. You know, that's one of his strengths. As you say, Canati got hauled off because he had an awful game and he couldn't get near Calvert-Lewin. He would lay the ball off nicely, brought players in. His movement was good. So unlucky for the penalty. Absolutely fantastic in terms of what he was doing. You know, his movement was good, wasn't it? His touch around Alisson was fantastic. So it was all round an absolutely fabulous game, and I think that we realise how good Dominic Calvert-Lewin is when we see him play like that, because we know he's got it in him. And you know, Sean Dyche and his staff, they certainly, I think, addressed the medical issues that he's had over the last two or three years or so, and that's again testament to them. You know, there was times when Benitez, he brought him back too quickly and he broke down and he broke down again. And there was calls for Sean Dyche, you know, is he fit? Is he fit? He was getting questioned every single week. Get him back in. Can we get him back in? Never rushed him once. And now to go that number of games and not score, but still have the belief that he can score. And, you know, it took a penalty in the end to break the duck. Then he got one in off his leg and he closed the goalkeeper down. Now he scored a fantastic header. So a range of goals, but for strikers, they just don't care because, you know, a goal is a goal. But he was fantastic and I can't give him, you know, enough credit in terms of how he's come out of this rut. And to put that kind of performance in against that kind of opposition is testament to him. And as I say, and his belief. And I just thought it was a terrific performance from him. And you know, it came out afterwards. Don't forget that. He hadn't trained really since Forest. Had strapping on his knee. Had a stomach bug that came on him yesterday, day of the game. And he put on that performance. And it's just, you know, fantastic to see him do that. But I could sit here and discuss all the players in terms of what they did. You know, we mentioned Jordan Pickford. We mentioned Mikhailenko briefly. We mentioned Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, Branthwaite was fantastic as ever. You know, he had his blip against Chelsea, which we've said on the show before, that was understandable. Young kid, not going to be Mr. Consistent, but he has been. That's why it was a little bit of a shock, puts in that performance last night. But I think that, you know, one of the standouts and somebody who was probably close to getting man of the match was just a Garnaghe. You know, a fabulous performance in front of that back four. You know, he marshalled things in front of them really well. Look at the number of blocks he got, the little interceptions, the little tackles, breaking things up, won free kicks, you know, cleverly. And I think he won the free kick for the first goal, actually, which was quite clever how he got his body in front. And for somebody who, you know, this could be the swan song, he doesn't get another year contract. You know, he's a fabulous player for that squad. And you just think, if we can do it, you know, can we just say some reduced terms, but sign another year? He loves the club, Garnaghe. You know, we wouldn't have come back if he didn't. You know, fabulous relationship with the fans as well. But his performance, I think, was probably the epitome of Everton Football Club and a derby match, really, wasn't it?
It was grit, determination, and he was literally like glue on everybody that came anywhere near our 6-yard box. And as you say, he broke up everything. And you know what I mean? Sometimes you can argue he's not the best passer sometimes when he does get the ball and we do try and break, but his passing last night was brilliant. You know what I mean? He'd pivot, make space for himself and then lay it off. But you know what I mean? It's every man. And obviously, I think as well, I'm going to throw in Jack Harrison as well on that right-hand side. I think that's his best performance all season in the blue shirt because he worked damn hard. And, you know what I mean? But yeah, Drissa Gay, I think, was probably the unsung hero, really, if you're saying about, he obviously didn't get man of the match. It was a throwback, I think, for him, is like the way he was when we first signed him. And not really, really, I didn't really know much about him, to be honest with you. I saw him a few times with against when he played for Villa. But you could see why, you know, PSV wanted someone like him. You know what I mean? Slows and dictates play, doesn't he?
Yeah, of course he is. He's one of those players who, you know, he does the simple things. He breaks play up, as I said. You know, he puts his foot in. He's not gonna score yet 5-10 goals a season. Saw his second goal of the season against Forest, and he never ever catches the ball particularly well, does he? When he strikes it, but he's valuable in terms of what he offers his squad, and you know, there's, when you look at what he did at PSG, obviously surrounded by real quality, but he was an important player for them. And we got him back in, and last night he was just absolutely terrific. I think, you know, we talk about players stepping up, and I, you know, I worry at times when we haven't got Onana in the middle of midfield, because I think we need that physicality and those legs. He came on obviously about 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes at the end. But Garner Gay was just out of this world, and I can't say enough about him either. I've still said this a few times, obviously Calvert-Lewin, you know, and now Garner Gay. But Lee's just joined us because he's just finished his steak dinner at Little Chef, as we discussed at the start of the show, because he's a tight ass and he only goes for meal deals and things like that. But, you know, his missus is so lucky to be with him. But he just popped into the podcast. Lee, you've missed all the good chat. We're just about to sign off.
I used to love the Little Chef. Do you remember? They used to get those little lollipops.
Classics, yeah, classics. Love them.
Underrated. hey, Chris, you okay? No, sorry, obviously a bit late to the call. You were talking about Garner Gay. I caught the end of that then. I mean, he's arguably come back into the side the last two games and been for me, the big difference in midfield, isn't he? He's been absolutely unbelievable. I said to you guys, you know, give him the 1 year. I mean, I believe there's an option to extend it for 1 year, isn't there? There is an option to do so. Just on the basis of those last two games, he shows he can still play at this level, comfortably play at this level as well. You know, you look at, you know, 30 minutes down the 62, you've got Casemiro, who's not too dissimilar in age. In fact, I think Garner's older than him, I think, isn't he? And look, his legs are well and truly gone, aren't they? And obviously they play in a similar position as well. And yeah, Idrissa Gueye was absolutely outstanding against Forest, firstly, and then yesterday again, he was phenomenal in midfield. I mean, Liverpool are always going to have success, of course, you know, just because of the quality of players they've got, and he more than stood up to the test yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he did, and we just discussed obviously the fact that the second goal, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and obviously when that went in and how it went off of Goodison and things like that, and you know, at that point, obviously, you watched it yourself, Lee. At that point, were you starting to believe that maybe it was going to be our night? Because 1-0 is never a good score, is it? Especially against that kind of opposition. But when you go 2-0 up with about half an hour or so to play, I was just saying, obviously, to Chris, that I started to believe we might get a point here. And a point would have been big, because if they come back and they score, so you'd be devastated, of course, but it would be a big point. But at 2-0, and the way that they perform Liverpool, that was the time for me when I just started to semi-relax in a fashion, if I can call it that, and think that we're going to get all 3 points.
You know what? I mean, they coined it on the TV. Obviously, I didn't go to the game to watch it. I couldn't bring myself to go, to be honest, Mike.
You bottled it, didn't you? You absolutely bottled it.
I had a ticket there for you. I know, mate. I well and truly bottled it, to be fair. I just don't, you know, the derbies have been so horrible over the years. You know what I mean? We've come out of that ground that, you know, all of us as fans just being like, we've lost again to these lot, you know what I mean? And their fans are unbearable, as we know. But I just had a good feeling about yesterday. I don't know why. I think a lot of it stemmed from the Forest result. You know, the fact that, there was such a big game. It gave us that bit of breathing space. I think if we'd have lost against Forest, I think that derby would have been a very different atmosphere, wouldn't it? It was a nervous atmosphere before Forest at the weekend. Obviously, I was at that game. And you know, we did well and won despite some contentious decisions. But we went into this game with so much more belief. But you know, our Derby record, let's be honest, it's deplorable, isn't it? Even when we weren't a great side in the 90s, we still gave them a game, didn't we? Particularly at Goodison, our record at Goodison was brilliant. And that was a bit of a throwback performance yesterday to the 90s, wasn't it? We ruffled them, we got in their faces, you know, they still knocked it about a little bit, but you know, other than a couple of saves that Pickford made, which were very, very important, obviously, but it was a bit of an almost semi dogs of war type performance, wasn't it? In terms of the, you know, the crowd were up for it. We were putting tackles in. I mean, look, years ago you could get away with leaving one on someone at Derby, couldn't you, and just get a ticking off. Nowadays, with VAR and everything else, it's, you know, it's totally different, isn't it? You run the risk of a red card with some of the tackles that you'd have put in 20 years ago. But it did remind me of that. And I thought the referee handled the game brilliantly, by the way. You know, we've moaned about referees plenty of times on this podcast. And, you know, you don't like to, because at the end of the day, you know, the best referee should never be even talked about. But I thought he handled that game really well. Obviously, Klopp was in the fourth official's ear every 5 minutes doing his head in. You know, he was whinging a lot, but massive credit for the way the ref handled it. There were some tackles that were a bit 50-50, but he let it go. He obviously gave us a few decisions as well that may have been fouls, but you know, they're the sort of homer decisions that you like to think you get in these types of games anyway when you're at home. So yeah, but you know, that was a throwback performance. I'm sure you boys would agree.
100% it was, yeah. And like you say, the referee was, I thought, was fantastic. I said, me and Pete walked back up after the game. And, you know, we said that straight away. The fact we didn't notice the referee in a Merseyside derby tells you all that you need to know. I thought he handled things really, really well. That's what you want. You know, that's what you want. You don't want an Anthony Taylor, you know, Mr. Look at me, get the camera on me, you know, with the throwback to Mike Dean and things like that. You want a referee who just goes unnoticed. And I thought he was terrific. But obviously, after that second goal, Everton sort of, we did retreat quite a bit at that point, and we tried to soak things up. And there was a 10-minute spell where you could sense the nerves in the crowd. I wasn't too bad myself personally. I was okay. Girl next to me was shaking the whole row with her legs because she just couldn't keep still. But I think that was just, everyone was sort of similar, up and down. There was fights in the paddock and everything between Everton fans. It was absolutely mental in there last night. I'm not sure if it was a full moon or something like that, but we're in the Merseyside derby and it's going off between like an 80-year-old fella and a 65-year-old fella. It was incredible scenes last night, but just one of those funny Goodison matches. But we did go back into our shell a little bit, which you get, you know, we're going to naturally. And we sort of, every time we were getting the ball clear from between that second goal and about the 70th, 71st minute, it was just coming straight back. We couldn't get hold of the ball. We couldn't get that release. You know, they hit the post, didn't they, through Luis Diaz. I thought that was in. But I thought all in all, I think we handled things pretty well. Players putting the bodies on the line, getting in some fantastic blocks. Some great tackles, you know, a couple of saves from Pickford late on from Harvey Elliott. I still can't say his name. I must still be Pickford. I don't even drink. Harvey Elliott, should I say. And Salah late on. But I think all in all, I think we saw things out pretty well. And I think that, you know, the way that we went about that, I can't wax lyrical enough about that performance last night, because when I wrote me fan action this morning, they asked me for a little extra article, and they took something out of it, which I wasn't too happy, because that's one of my favourite lines was the fact that I thought that it was the performance would have been a throwback performance, but it was two fingers up to the establishment, basically. Do you know what I mean? They want us gone. They've docked us 8 points. We're not having it. We keep on going. We keep on winning games. You know, we're on the brink, aren't we, now of staying up, which is unbelievable given the fact we lost 8 points, by the way.
And don't forget we ruined the title race as well.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's ruined the whole thing. It's ruined the whole story, hasn't it, for them all? You know, they're putting all our games on the telly because they want to see us get beat. You know, they put the Luton game's gone to a Friday night football, you know, things like that. Liverpool
well, Brentford, match. Brentford's now being shifted to a game on Saturday night.
R5 Saturday, yeah. You know what I mean? Now, we know Saturday, by the way, we can cement our place. You know, it's going to be a tough ask. We're going to come on to that very briefly in a second. But to go back to the, to just to finalise things on the derby, it was the most satisfying victory I've seen at Goodison Park for many, many years. I know, as I said at the start of the show, we can go back to the Palace game, we can go back to Bournemouth, you know, even Newcastle under Lampard, and you know, even Newcastle this season, because we don't like them. But that was unbelievable last night. And when that final whistle went, you've probably seen, I'd actually got on film, unusual for me to actually film a little bit of the match, but I thought, I can't miss out on this. Those scenes when that final whistle goes, the noise from the crowd, when the songs kick in, seconds to none. And Goodison Park, you know, in 18 months' time, will be rubble effectively. It won't be there. But what will be there is what's in your head and those memories from that particular night. And, you know, I'll never lose that. And when I look back on, you know, the games I've been over many, many years at Goodison Park, that's right up there for me, because it's been so long in the making. It's 14 years since we last beat them at Goodison. Never thought it would be 14 years. And, you know, we never thought that the distance between the two sides would be the way, you know, as big as it is. But when that full-time whistle went, you can hear me on my video, actually, you can hear what I was saying. It was just immense satisfaction, relief, pride, joy, all rolled into one, you know, emotion, pent-up emotion and frustration for many, many years, all came out. And like I said at the start of the show, every single Evertonian around the world deserved that. Every single one of us deserved that. The players deserve it. The manager, we've said, we've criticised, you know, in recent weeks after that Chelsea game and during that run where we didn't win for, you know, for 13 games. We questioned them. We questioned the players' attitude. Have they got the stomach for the fight? Was the big line. As he got the attributes diced to keep us up again, you know, given the fact we've lost 8 points and it's gone a bit flatter, the players, as he lost the dressing room. I think last night and Sunday, to be fair, against Forest, showed you exactly what those players are fighting for, and they understand it, and they want it. They certainly must have some kind of affection for the football club to put in that kind of shift. And massively proud of them. I've got to be, and you sort of, you think about it and you sort of well up a little bit when you, you know, because that's, it's been a tough 3 years and we're still going through it. Don't get me wrong. But it's been a tough 3 years. And has it been worth it for that last night? I'd say that it has. And is that a turning point? Maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just, it was our time to win a Merseyside derby, but the manager deserves great credit. And as I say, we're always quite rational on this show, and we have been. But I think we did think that maybe he's lost things a touch after Chelsea. And as I said, you know, the long losing or long winless streak. But he deserves immense credit. I've said it before. Not many other managers could come into that football club, deal with the shit that he's dealt with behind the scenes, and come out every single week, bat things off, not slink the players, keep it all in house as best he can, and then come out, 8-point deduction. He's picked up 41 points this season. We should be well and soon safe by 16 points at this moment in time. That's incredible for me. And I think personally that, mind you, the season, I think he's in with a shout. Maybe that's me just being a little bit emotional and a little bit romantic, but not many managers can do what he's done. I'm not saying he's the world's greatest. I'm not saying he's going to be here forever. I'm not saying he deserves a long-term contract before people start jumping all over it. But he's come in and done his job, and not many others could do that. But
when you consider the quality we've lost, Mike, in that team, and exactly, you know, what we've replaced him with, you know, you've got to say he's done a good job. And any other season, like you just coined it there, we would be on 41 points. You know, the Premier League will look at these points deductions obviously going forward now and see if that is the right way to punish teams. And I believe next season points deductions will be carrying on. But I can tell you the season after that, I bet you there'll be no more, 100%. They can't risk clubs, you know, failing to spend money in transfer windows because of the, you know, the worry of points deductions going forward. So I imagine that will change. So you are right. I think on the whole, he has done an exceptional job. with what he's had at his disposal. You know, cash your minds back. It wasn't that long ago. We were second in the league under Ancelotti on Boxing Day during COVID. You know, that shows you how far this squad has fallen in terms of quality. And I know that's not the nicest thing to say after a great result last night, because the boys really did a good shift, not just with endeavour and fight and everything else, but also with quality. You've got to put that in there as well. They have showed quality as well, but you know, that squad is nowhere near the same as the squad that was, you know, second on box at the time in terms of quality across the pitch. And massive credit to him and the boys yesterday. And you are right, that was the old lady at her best last night, wasn't it? You know, we've had some amazing atmospheres at that ground, and Neville coined it afterwards. He does this little mini podcast, doesn't he, when he's doing Sky now, and then talks about the weekend's games. And obviously he was talking about that game he was at last night. And he came out with it again, that the stanchion was shaking. He said it's the only ground in the country left that happens when they score a goal. And he said, you know, this is one of the best grounds in the country for atmospheres. And it'll be sad when it's gone. And he referred to that time when him and Scholes were sent off there years ago. I think, was that the night Fergie scored, or was that another night? Was it the night Ferguson scored and we were 1-0? That was another night.
It was the same night.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought so. And obviously that, you know, that was a very good United team, and we rattled them that night, like we rattled Liverpool yesterday. And you know, that ground is you know, just when it's bouncing, there's no better ground in the country like it. And I just hope we can carry that, and I'm sure we will, by the way, we can carry that atmosphere into Bramley Moor, because, you know, if the acoustics are to be believed with the architecture that Dan Mice has put together, then we will be able to retain that atmosphere. And, you know, hopefully it will do Goodison justice when we do go over there. But quickly going back to the game before we finish up on it, I thought you were right. Once it got past the 70th minute there, we were retreating a little bit, weren't we? We weren't keeping hold of the ball. I thought he may have brought Gomez on at that point. You know, just someone who can get their foot on it. Because I thought Gomez on the whole played pretty well against Forest. Because he is that little bit of composure in midfield, isn't he? He doesn't have the legs as obviously some of the other lads, but he is the type of guy that will take, you know, the extra touch, or will manoeuvre it away from a, you know, another midfielder and just keep it that little bit longer. And we just needed someone to put their foot on it. I think I sent you a picture, didn't I? So with 7 minutes to go, Chris, I couldn't bear watching it anymore. So I left the TV on. And believe it or not, I was out in the garden doing some gardening at 10 to 10 last night with the garden lights on. I was there with a fork, like turning the pillow. My missus had done a video of it, and then basically tagged me on Instagram saying, "You know, are you okay, hun?" You know what I mean? I was just literally just like,
it was like
an out of body experience. I couldn't watch it. I was there literally in the garden at 10. The lights on, turning the soil over. The neighbours must have been looking at me going, what's he doing? Is he burying a dead body or something? What's going on? Just me.
More Charlie Dimmock now on Titchmarsh, though, I'd say.
Monty Don, me, mate. Monty Don.
Monty Panesar, not Monty Don. I say, yeah. Your finger spin.
Monty Panesar. You know those moments where you feel like you have to distract yourself? We've all done it, haven't we? We've all done it. Like, one of the lads was good mates with, he's been on the pod before, Mike. He was saying that he was upstairs, like he goes, he was putting new covers on his bed and stuff, like remaking the bed when the game was going on. Do you know what I mean? And then he said after the game he'd had five drinks, and then he was buying stuff off the Everton website, stuff that he'll never use. Do you know what I mean?
I hope he used our affiliate link for that and supported the podcast.
He said he said he was just sitting there on the website just going, I'll have that, and just started buying stuff. But, you know, look, we're laughing now because obviously, look, we haven't had much things to smile about this season, let's be honest. It's been a real, real hard season, and I think you were bang on there, Mike. That was for the fans yesterday. That was for the fans. You know, the fans that have supported the club through thick and thin, go to every home game. Some fans that go to every single game, incredible, you know, home and away, follow that team everywhere. And it's also for the players. You know, the players have shown unbelievable bravery in the last two games, because that's high pressure. You know, the weight around their neck of keeping a club like Everton in the league is huge. You know, it's not just any old club going down. It's huge. You know, this club's only been relegated once. You know, my dad said to me the other night, Everton have never been relegated in my lifetime. And my dad's 65 this year. You know what I mean? That's nuts to even think that. So the weight on those players' shoulders, the burden on them, you know, some of them have been through it for the last 2 years. And that, you know, and let's be honest, they should be safe now. And they're being dragged into it again through things out of their control. And, you know, fair play to them. They've shown the mental resilience. And, you know, bearing in mind, a lot of the time we've thrown stuff at them for bottling it and things like that as well in certain matches. And they all stood up yesterday. And you know, like I said before, you know, they deserve massive credit for you know, it looks like we'll stay up now. It's not guaranteed yet, but let's be honest, it's as good as done now anyway, isn't it, really? And they deserve massive credit for keeping this club. And, you know, the last ever season in Goodison now will hopefully be spent in the top flight, which is where we belong.
Yeah, and it brings us, you know, nicely just to close the show. Obviously, two wins out of two at Goodison in this pivotal week. We've been mentioning it for a while. You know, Saturday comes around, Brentford come to Goodison Park. You got a fabulous win against Luton. Did us a favour, by the way, by doing that by 5-1. And, you know, Chris, it's a, you know, third game in 6 days. It's a tough ask, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think we all know that the players put a hell of a lot into that game last night. They put a hell of a lot into the Forest game. The Brentford game comes around quickly. They're rested from the weekend. They haven't played midweek. What are your thoughts just going into that in terms of, do you think the fatigue might play a part in things? And maybe, you know, we can guarantee our safety at the weekend. Maybe it might just be one game too far. Or do you think, listen, ride the crest of a wave and we could win the third game on the spin?
I most definitely think we can win the third game on the spin. You know, I mean, we have had, you know, two games quick back-to-back, haven't we? And they have been really important games. I still think we can keep the momentum going. You know what I mean? We've just beaten Liverpool, which we haven't done for 14 years. That when I'd say, you know, in going into these last couple of games, having beaten Liverpool, no one really thought we would, which I'd imagine say that's a bonus 3 points that. We wouldn't really thought we would have got any of that. So I think, you know, you keep the momentum going. And, you know, it would be nice now if we go beat Brentford, we can, you know, go to put our socks on and go to the beach, but I don't think many people do that. Put your sandals and go on the beach. Wouldn't it be nice to go play Luton on Friday, then Sheffield United and then Arsenal, 3 games left to go, and not have any panic and actually watch a game without having no distractions and just enjoy a game? You're not worrying about relegation. You're not, you know what I mean? I'd like to do that. And I think both you and all Evertonians would love to do that. You know what I mean? But, you know, Brentford are a hard team to play. You know, they've got better since Ivan Toney came back, no doubt about it. But I still think we ride that momentum and we go there and do a job and then come around next Friday, Luton. We just enjoy ourselves. And I think that's a key point here. Is it'd be nice just to enjoy a game with no distractions. And you'll forget about what's going on with the club. We can talk about that once the season's ended, but it would just be nice to go and watch a game with nothing on the line and just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I was about to agree with Chris there. I was about to say, yeah, definitely, I agree with that. You know, every game seems to have carried so much weight and expectation, hasn't it? We could relax a bit earlier in the season because obviously, you know, you're going into it without that sort of worry. And we did show bits of form earlier in the season without getting the right results. And we all thought, oh, you know, if we carry on playing like this and we just need to put the ball away, we'll be fine. And in a way, you know, I don't think we've achieved that potential. We have in patches when we went on that run over Christmas and then, you know, recently now. But yeah, I still think the team has underachieved a little bit this season. You know, the XG at certain times will definitely tell you that we've not scored as much goals as we should have. One thing that's been a real success is our defence. You know, we've kept 11 clean sheets now in the Premier League, which is, you know, a hell of an achievement, you know, for a team that's right down there. Okay, look, again, it's points deductions that skewing it a little bit. But I think, you know, where were we? I think the third or fourth best defence in the league. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, fourth best, yeah. So if we could have actually put the ball in the back of the net a few more times than we should have done and been a bit more clinical, we wouldn't be having this worry whatsoever. Brentford, a weird one. I really like Thomas Frank. We've had a chat about him a few times, Mike, haven't we? And he's a very good manager. He's well thought of. He speaks well. His teams are always, you know, a representation of him, I would say. And you are right. They have picked up since Tony's come back in. But ironically, the last couple of results they've had Visser and Bumo up front. Do you know what I mean? And there's a bit of weirdness going around with Tony at the minute because, you know, there's a lot of rumours. He's made it pretty clear that he wants to go in the summer himself, hasn't he, since he's come back from the betting scandal. And I think it's clear as day. They're saying he's slightly injured and everything else, but he was on the bench of the day. He didn't even come on. So there's clearly something going on there. But, you know, they played in Bueno and Visser, who are both threats themselves. And Bueno's a very talented player. You know what I mean? And they had a very good result, which pretty much confirmed their safety against Luton. None of us saw that coming. Luton at home have been very impressive, but they do concede a lot of goals. And Brentford were ruthless in that game and put them to the sword. So the worry is for me, when you come back off such a high of the result we've had last night, And you know, 3 games in 6 days in your legs. And let's be honest, he will change it in areas, but we haven't got that many personnel to be able to change it massively, have we, and keep the quality. So I do imagine a lot of the side that started all week, you know, this week, the both games will start again. So it's a big ask now to ask the players to put another shift in again. But, you know, the way it stands right now, Luton would have, even if we get no points between now and the end of the season, they would have to win 3 of the next 4. Luton have won 5 games all season. That's a huge ask. It's a massive ask. You know, Mike, you've said it before, our goal difference compared to them is worth a point. So really, it's essentially a point that we need now, isn't it, to stay up between now and the end of the season. So I agree with you, Chris. If we can get even a point against Brentford, because I do think we will be leggy in that game, then that really should be that in terms of confirming our safety for this season.
That's right, and that's what we want, isn't it? Like you were saying, Chris, you know, to be able to go into that final home game against Sheffield United, just relax, you know, nothing on the Arsenal game. You know, they're going for the title, so, you know, they're in a decent position there maybe to pick up the league title. So it's going to be a tough game and then going there anyway. So that's going to go to the final game of the season. We've got now 2 home games, 2 away games. Both home games are winnable, as you know, whatever winnable is. But you know, they are. It might come a little bit too soon, but we can make a few changes. You know, in terms of, you know, Onana can come back in that central midfield. Gomez can come back in. Obviously, there's no Beto because we mentioned earlier with the concussion protocol. You've got, you know, Young will probably start at left-back for Mikhailenko, who's going to probably be out now. There's a few little changes that can be made, a few little tweaks to just get us over the line. And, you know, a point, the chances are a point is going to be enough because of our goal difference anyway. But to get all three would be fantastic. Like you say, you know, Brentford have got Tony back, but there's something not right there, you know, in terms of the fact that he's not playing. Obviously, Neil Mopey can't play, which, you know, if he could do, he'd probably score against us anyway. so that's a blessing in disguise. And Bermo's a quality player. Him and Visser and Lewis Potter, who played against Luton as well, a decent front three there. They got pace. But listen, we've done, we've played against pace against Forest and against Liverpool and done really well. So no fear going into it. It's can the players one more time. Can you just raise it one more time? You know, is there enough in the legs? Is there enough in the heart? Is there enough adrenaline running through your body just to get us over the line? And let's just get it done, lads. You know, let's just get it done, and we can all relax, and it'll be richly deserved when we, you know, mathematically, we should be safe, as I say, by 16 points or whatever it is now. We should be safe. We're not, okay? But let's get it done, and then, you know, they will deserve all the credits in the world, that's for sure. But, you know, we can relax into the weekend almost now. Fantastic few days to be an Everton fan, it's got to be said, after so much misery, you know, this season. And so much misery 10, 11 days ago at Stamford Bridge as well, after shipping 6 goals. So fantastic for the players and manager. Had the clear-the-air conversations. A few home truths were said, and they've turned it around. But let's finish off, if we can, with our predictions. Chris, what are we saying for the Brentford game on Saturday?
I'm going to push one out here. And I'm going to go 3-1 Everton. Yeah, why not? Why not?
Why not? Listen, it's been a funny few days, hasn't it? So why not indeed, Lee?
Brentford are actually unbeaten in 5. You know, they turned at the right time. And you mentioned Keane Lewis Potter there. He's not been able to play. He forced his way into the team, has he, until recently? And he was brilliant in the game. I saw them play against United a few weeks ago when they drew at United. They've had a draw at Villa as well since, haven't they? So they've had some good results before, obviously, smashing Luton. But I'm going to say another clean sheet again, boys, you know. 3 clean sheets in a week, which will be phenomenal, to coin a famous former manager's phrase. So I'm going to say Everton 1-0. Another Calvert-Lewin header.
I'm going to join you in the 1-0 club, actually. I certainly think we can keep a clean sheet. And I think we'll get ourselves over the line. But I will not be surprised. I'll caveat that with, I will not be surprised if we see a bit of a drop-off and a bit of a struggle, to be honest with you. But who knows? You know, they're riding the crest of a wave. So maybe we'll just about do it. But that's us for today. Little bonus podcast. We couldn't let the derby go by without discussing it, of course. You know, we've waited 14 years to record this episode. So I think it was important to get it out. Obviously, the COVID derby win in Anfield was fantastic, but home derby wins are few and far between. So great to discuss that. Chris, fantastic. Great to speak to you today and lovely to have you on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. And we'll be back ourselves, of course, Sunday to look back on that Brentford game and look ahead to the Luton game. Hopefully it means nothing at all. But who knows with Everton Football Club. But listen, enjoy the next couple of days. Enjoy getting down to Goodison Park on Saturday and let's get behind lads one final time and get them over the line. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. 3 Blues. 3 Opinions. 1 Everton Podcast. Sports Social Podcast Network.